There is an ancient book that remains a mystery to most of the Earth's inhabitants. It tells us why we are here, reveals the mysteries of heaven and the horrors of hell, and the hero is God Himself in our Lord Jesus Christ. Learn of the Ancient of Days by listening to Bible Believers Fellowship, Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 9:30 p.m. on 91.5 Freedom FM.
Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and an answer for those who claim that it is wrong to name names when exposing apostasy and heresy. This message is part of our ongoing Exposing Apostasy series of messages, and we've simply titled it Naming Names. Our sermon audio messages can be found at the very top of our website at kjvbiblebelievers.com. You'll find several videos embedded on that same page, along with links to pages filled with dozens of links to other messages, right there at the front page of our website, kjvbiblebelievers.com. And visit that website in order to find those and other free resources. Now let's begin our study of Naming Names. This is part one of our two-part study.
As the title suggests, we're going to deal with an issue, this is something that we are supposed to do, and the majority of Christians and Christian churches today will not do it. And we're going to talk about that. But we are supposed to be exposing apostasy. How can you warn someone about that cliff they're about to drive off if you don't yell and scream and say, "There's a cliff!" Amen? That's my street preaching voice, by the way. I don't use it a lot in here, but if you're driving down the road and you see a house is on fire and you can't get in the front door, I wish Ed Pelfrey was here. He could give you a firsthand account of that. You go to a house and you can't get through the front door and you don't have a ladder, you don't have... What do you have to do? You have to start yelling. "Wake up! Fire!" Well, I better watch. There might be somebody upstairs. "There's no fire! False alarm!" But if you want to get people out and you don't have the tools, how do you do it? You speak. And you speak at the tone and the noise level that you need to in order to get the message across. There is a deafening silence today among Christians. We have never lived in a time with more apostasy than we're seeing right now, and yet there's less being said about it. Less warning going on. There are people I meet all the time who've been in church for decades, and they don't know the first thing about the real world that's around them and what's taking place. And so today I want to give you the biblical basis for naming names. I'm criticized for it at times when I'm exposing false teaching and false teachers. And I'm going to answer the question, is it wrong to name names? We've put the messages on the radio, we've put it on the internet, and people say, "Well, I don't believe in names. You should be calling out names." Now, I'm going to make it clear as we go along. I'm not just saying every time I disagree with somebody or you disagree with somebody, we start naming them and publicly denouncing them. So keep that in mind. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But we're talking about naming the names of false teaching and teachers. And I've never seen anything like it, to be honest. I've got to say this again. Never seen anything like it. In any other aspect of our lives, if there's a danger, I'm going to say, don't swallow that decon sitting there on the table. Little kids, don't put your hand on the stove. But Christians think they should just walk in and say, "Be good." What? Your kid's going to eat the decon and burn his hand. I mean, that's what's going to happen. We have to be specific. We have to warn what's going on. How else are people going to know? So this is the question that isn't being asked. And this is the question I'm asking you right now to ask. What does the Bible say? That should be the only thing that matters. You shouldn't care what my opinion is. and you shouldn't even care what your opinion is right now. Whatever your opinion is right now does not matter. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, you always say, what does the Bible say? And if you are confronted with something and it's different than your opinion, guess what's supposed to happen? You change your opinion. You mold your opinion to the Word of God. Boy, if that were to happen. So here is what Paul has told us in Romans 16. If you want to turn there, you can. It's Romans chapter 16. And we studied this and we discussed this when we were going through the book of Romans. And in Romans chapter 16, beginning in verse 17, you can tell he's not talking to lost people here. He's talking to Christians who were in the city of Rome. And this letter is applicable to all believers. And he says in verse 17, "Now I beseech you, brethren." So this is a message to you as a believer. And he says something that Christians refuse to obey. This is a commandment that most Christians today will not obey. They refuse. And it says, "Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Now, can you please, anyone here, tell me, does that sound like an option? Is this optional? It's a commandment. It says to mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. See, that's the key. It's not just because you don't like them. It's not because you don't like their denomination or you don't like their church style of worship or something, you know, things like that. This is talking about serious, important doctrine that is being taught that contradicts what we know to be true. Now, the word is for someone who does that is heretic. The word heretic applies to a person who causes division by contradicting the truth. Noah Webster's dictionary that I always recommend from 1828, you can find it online free of charge. If you buy the big, thick cover, I think it's like 50 bucks, something like that. But it says, "A heretic is a person who holds and avows religious opinions contrary to the doctrines of Scripture. The only rule of faith and practice." Wow. Go look up Webster's now. You won't find that definition. But that's what the word really means. That's why I tell you, you think the Bibles are corrupt, your dictionaries are corrupt too. Get rid of the new dictionaries if you can. Go get you an 1828 or get on the internet and bookmark it so you can find out what the words really mean in our English language. But a heretic is one who holds and avows religious opinions contrary to the doctrines of Scriptures, not contrary to your opinions. See? And if they hold those contrary to the doctrines of Scripture, which is the only rule of faith and practice, that is a heretic. Now, the word is abused and misused. For example, the Catholic Church says we're all heretics. Did you know that? Jenny is dealing with a friend who has decided to check out her brain and no longer think. And so she is telling everybody, oh, the Roman Catholic Church is great, and this new Pope's great, and everything. And the Roman Catholic Church says that you're saved through their church alone, and you have to go through their sacraments, and if you don't, you're anathema, you're condemned. And all these mindless evangelicals walk around saying, oh, we're just one in Christ, we're all the same. It's just senseless. It's just not true. If you are a Bible-believing Christian and you believe the gospel, the Pope and the Roman Catholic Church says you're damned. Do you understand that? There's something wrong there. But they will call you a heretic because you don't hold the Catholic Church doctrine. The Bible says they're the heretics because they don't hold the truth of the Scripture. Now, you may know a Catholic person who professes to believe in salvation by grace through faith alone in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Fine, that's different. That's a different subject. We're talking about the institution, the organization known as the Roman Catholic Church and their doctrine, and they have a website, and you can go read what they teach. Been there, haven't you? Jenny was looking it up this week. Now look what it says in verse 18. Read that with me. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. They serve their own belly, meaning what they desire. I think of belly, and I think of belly aching. But those are the type of people who are always belly aching about anybody who takes a stand for the truth. They don't like it. Why? Because they're not concerned with truth. They're concerned with what they want. It's all about, it's carnal. It's fleshly. And notice it says, by good words and fair speeches. When somebody talks and they just say all good things to you, I hope you're smart enough to know that you're probably being swindled. Because are you going to be honest with yourself and admit, I'm not really all that good? I need for someone to remind me of the badness in me, the wickedness in me. I need someone to remind me that there's something wrong in my mind and my heart, that I'm constantly being drawn into evil and wickedness. I need to be reminded of that. So if all I'm ever being told is how wonderful I am and good words and fair speeches, you're being deceived. So, it should be a red flag going up whenever you hear someone preach like that. Notice it says, they deceive the hearts of the simple. I'm just going to let you in on a little secret. That word simple basically means stupid. I'm just shooting straight with you. That's the truth. I know people get really, you know, you shouldn't call people stupid. Well, God wrote the Bible, and He says that the people who are caught up in this whole positive thinking, positive stuff, the Bible says they're stupid. They're being stupid. They're being foolish. So here's the bottom line as we start into the meat of our study. A heretic causes unnecessary divisions by denying clear scriptural truths. We're not talking about debatable matters, gray areas, how many angels can sit on the head of a pin, you know, that sort of thing. We're talking about black and white, virgin birth, Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, Jesus did not commit sin, He was sinless and He performed many miracles, healing the lame, making the blind to see, He raised the dead, and then He went to the cross, having not committed any sin, and yet He died for the sins of the whole world and paid for your sin and mine, and He gave up the ghost. He said, I give up. He wasn't actually killed as much as He gave up His life. And He said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then they laid Him in a tomb, and He rose again the third day and conquered sin and death. Now, I know some of you have admitted to me that you didn't realize this, but most Christian seminaries are filled with professors and teachers who deny these things. And a lot of the churches around here, if you ask them to tell you if they believe what I just said, you won't get a straight answer. And some of them will just flat out tell you they deny it. Why? We're in the last days. It's apostasy. We've got to wake up, grow up, and deal with it. And the pulpits are filled with heretics. The pulpits are filled with them. But so are a lot of Christians because they sit under that and they haven't been taught to guard against error and to stand for the truth. So they sit there and they feed on poison and eventually it takes root. We were talking about this situation with Jane. It's somebody who for 30 years is in a Baptist church that was of no use. They didn't teach anything. And so they just positive, 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 positive. Nothing, you know, nothing real big. It just, everything's good. Everything's wonderful. Let's all get along. And now all the years later, falling in the pit. That's what Jesus meant when He said the blind will lead the blind and they both fall in the ditch. The blind pastor leading the blind sheep and they both fall in the ditch. Now, the Bible says to mark them. And I want to ask you a question. How are you supposed to mark them without naming them? How are you going to do that? The answer is simple. You can't. You can't mark them without naming them. The only way to mark those who cause division is to name them. And Paul is our example. Because you realize, even though we want to be Christ-like, you can never be Jesus. He was God. Amen? He was sinless. He could read your mind. Sometimes I think I'm reading somebody's mind, and then I realize I was way off. And I'm glad I didn't open my mouth. And then men are like, you know, I'll never understand women. Well, Jesus understands women. He's got one above all of us. So what do we... The Bible says that Paul is our example in following Christ. You want to follow Christ? You should. But you follow Paul's example. Let's look where it's at. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Don't turn there. It's just a short verse. You can make a note of it. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Read it with me. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. That's Paul. Paul says to follow him. You hear people say, oh, I'm not following a man. I won't follow a man. Well, there's something wrong with you. You're going to follow a man. It may be the one you look at in the mirror, but you're following a man. The question is, what man are you going to follow? And the funny thing is, I've heard this said over and over, but people come up to you and say, you're following a man. And you just talk to them long enough, you'll find out they follow a man. The question is, who are you going to follow? Well, I try to the best of my ability, to subject myself to the teachings of the Apostle Paul. Because the Apostle Paul is writing to the churches. And so I want to follow Paul and his example as he follows Christ. So I'm going to start selling t-shirts, hats, wristbands, WWPD. What would Paul do? Some of you might not even remember that. It's been gone for a little while. You remember what WWJD? What would Jack Daniels? I mean, what would Jesus do? It was a big scam. It was a big scam. And most of this stuff that comes down the pike, I remember the prayer of Jabez. Scam, big scam. I mean, over and over these scams come out and everybody's like, oh, it's about Jesus, so that must be good. Yeah, they hope you think that because they make a lot of money off of it. But anyway, what would Paul do is the question that we ought to be asking. Now, go ahead and turn here. 1 Timothy, we're going to go through 1 and 2 Timothy. We're going to hit a few verses here. And we're going to show where Paul is teaching Timothy, because Timothy is following Paul as Paul follows Christ. And Paul is teaching Timothy. And he's going to tell Timothy, here's how you deal with these guys. Here's how you deal with these apostates and these heretics. 1 Timothy chapter 1. What are you looking at? Is that wrong? Is it 2 Timothy chapter 1? Is it a typo? Is that it? Okay, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 15. Now, let's just read it and then we'll talk about it. Read it with me. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Lori, some real good names there for a baby. Phygellus. Yeah. See the little boy running around? Come here, Phygellus. Is that a disease? What? Those are names. Phygellus and Hermogenes, which sounds like milk. but look what he did. Look what he said here. He's naming names. He's telling Timothy, look, these two guys, one of them's named Phygellus and one of them's Hermogenes, and they have turned away from me. And what he meant was that they had turned away and they were actually countering Paul. Think of that. This is the Apostle Paul, and these two guys were working against him. So what's Paul do? He names them. He says, look out for these two guys. Now, again, this is serious stuff. But I'll give you an example. A number of years ago, for a little while, there's this guy named Carlton Pearson. He was pastor of a Christian artist named Carmen. You ever heard of Carmen, the Christian singer? Well, Carmen thought he was a believer, Carlton Pearson's pastor. And he was on TBN, and he's one of the guys that the President of the United States would call in. I mean, that's how well known he was. They thought he was going to be the actual successor of Oral Roberts. I mean, if you know who he is. So heretical, but but he did claim to be a Christian. And then suddenly, this Carlton Pearson started denying the gospel and telling everybody, everyone's already saved. You don't need to be born again. The good news is, you're already saved. And so don't even worry about being saved or being born again. It's a Christian brand of universalism. It's a denial of Jesus Christ. But for a while, when you tried to tell people that, they would get angry with you because they didn't want to hear it. Now, folks, I'm not saying I want to hear that. I didn't want to hear that this well-known preacher had become an apostate and was preaching lies. I didn't want to hear that. But that's not the question. Do you only accept what... You go to the doctor and he starts to tell you what's really wrong with you. You're like, oh, but I don't want to hear it. Well, you don't understand. We need to do surgery. Oh, but don't. I don't. Well, if you don't listen to me, you're going to die. Oh, yeah, no, no. Why did you even bother going to the doctor? Well, that's what people are doing with God. Oh, God, I love you. And I'm going to open this book and I'm going to read it. Show me your truth. And then they look down and they're like, ooh, I don't like that. Let's start somewhere else. Okay. Oh, I don't like that either. Let's keep going here. Is there a book in here that doesn't have any... And that's the way people treat the Bible. And that's why a lot of them, they'll even call themselves red letter Christians. We talked about it. Because they think if they just go to the red letters in their Bible, it won't be as harsh. Because you know, Jesus is all about love, right? We're going to see that in a minute. Okay, verses 16 and 17. Continue, read that with me. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. That word canker is our cancer. He is telling you that Hymenaeus... Oh, those are two different people. So now we got... Yes! Hymenaeus and Philetus. Yeah. Any of you young people ought to be taking notes. And in the Old Testament, there's some real good ones too, like Huppim and Muppim. I mean, those are good names too. But these guys are bad guys. And it's Hymenaeus and Philetus. And he says that their word eats like a cancer. You see that? What would Paul do? Paul warned. He said these guys are out there with profane and vain babblings. I mean, you got to hear today. There have been people. I'm not going to name the guy, but there was a guy who recently was caught having sexual relations with a minor. Who, in his books, was perverted. If you read his books, it was profane and vain babblings. And he taught that the communion pictured the sex act between him. I mean, all this weird stuff. And there's a group of preachers who preach that stuff. What is that? That's profane. And what do? You name him. But the reason I'm not going to name that guy is because he's in prison now. We don't have to worry about it. But these guys, Hymenaeus and Philetus, are named. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3. Turn to chapter 3. And this might seem a little less confrontational because he's talking about people in the past. But look what he says in verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. See, these were guys who were like these guys that we were just reading about. He's saying they're like Jannes and Jambres. Did you know that? You go back and read the book of Exodus and you see the Ten Commandments by Cecil B. DeMille. And you see the miracles by Moses, and you remember that some of the Egyptian magicians were able to duplicate some of those miracles. You remember that? Now you know their names. Jannes and Jambres. And they withstood Moses, and that's what he's comparing these other four guys that we already talked about. He's comparing them to them. Look in chapter 4 and verse 10. And this is an interesting one because Demas here is going to be named, and he isn't apostate, and he's not really done anything other than personally to Paul. Read that with me. It says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." So he's naming names, and he puts Demas in a bad light, even though Demas has really just forsaken Paul. He hasn't forsaken the Lord. You'll have people preach otherwise, but that's all it says. Look at this guy in chapter 4. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 14 and 15. You there? Read that with me. "Alexander the coppersmith did much evil." Let me read that again. I messed it up. "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words." Look what he's saying. He's naming him, Alexander the coppersmith. He says he did Paul much evil. He says, this is basically a prayer. And he's saying, the Lord reward him according to his works. And then he says, "You be aware of him also, for he's greatly withstood our words." He's contradicting the Scripture. So there's your example. What would Paul do? Read that.
Amen. That concludes part one of our study, answering those who question whether it is right to name names when exposing apostasy. Be sure to watch for part two, which can be found at kjvbiblebelievers.com. If you would like to send us a question or just to share a testimony of how this ministry has touched you, click on the Contact Us link at kjvbiblebelievers.com, or you can write to us by email by sending it to bbbfohio@yahoo.com. That stands for Bible Believers Baptist Fellowship in Ohio, bbbfohio@yahoo.com. You can also send your letter by U.S. Postal Service to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. That mailing address again is P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. If you are not saved, please pray and ask God to help you understand the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ as presented by Paul, who wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." And then Paul presented this simple gospel message, saying, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." The Bible says in Acts 16:31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." That is the gospel, and if you will believe that, you will be saved. Jesus is coming soon, and now is the day of salvation. I am Pastor Greg. Thank you for listening.